Thank you, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. I'm so excited about what we're going to talk about and what God is doing in our nation right now. And it may be hard to believe if you pay attention to any headlines from the mainstream media, but God is moving, and for that, we celebrate. So Heavenly Father, turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Joshua chapter 5, and I'm going to get us started with a word of prayer. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for every person who's on this line. I thank you for those that will listen to this later. I thank you, Father, for your promises, that your promises are coming forth. And Lord God, that in the midst of what seems to be chaos, what seems to be oppression that the enemy is trying to bring, Father God, you are preparing for victory. I thank you, Lord God, that in this season that we're in right now, you are training us and preparing us to walk out the victories that you promised us. You're training us and preparing us to move forward regardless of our emotions, regardless of what we see on the outside. We are being led by your Spirit in all things, and that is what you're training us for. And I thank you, Father God, for this season that we're in. I thank you. I thank you. I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds, and Father God, open up our ears that we can hear the word of the Lord and that we can study your word tonight and we can hear what you have for us tonight. And then take and apply that in our lives. And together, celebrate the victories. I thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you in your precious name. Amen. All right, Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said to him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Verse 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let's go to chapter 6, verse 1. And now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow with the trumpets, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now, the reason why we are discussing Jericho right now is because of a series of visions that the Lord had given me and because of the time that we're in right now. Maybe a year ago, it could be 2 years ago now, I did a message, and it's called From Wanderers to Warriors, and it's on our website, and it's about the crossing of the Jordan River. And I encourage you to go to it and listen to it. It would be a wonderful refresher, but it also would bring you hope. Hope. Hope for our youth. Hope for those that seem to be wandering in the desert. Hope. It really would. And so that was a revelation that God had given me as they crossed the Jordan. So I encourage you to listen to that. So now we're going to the Battle of Jericho. One of the things that the Lord is teaching us right now and preparing us for is what is about to come in our nation, what we are about to face. God is resetting and reordering our nation. He is resetting and reordering our nation. God has created this nation to be a nation of light unto all the earth. He covenanted with this nation that it would be a refuge nation in the end times. We have prayed into this. We have fought for this for many years now, and we've discussed this before, so I'm not going to go into all of that right now. But what I want us to remember is God's original plan and purpose for our nation. The enemy has come in and brought corruption. And he's brought corruption in several areas. We've talked about it. I shared about it last week on our call on the vision I had of the eagle pulling the flag, flying with the flag, and with the five weights that were on that flag. And the enemy has come in and weighed down this country by corrupting these areas of our nation. He's corrupted the media. He's corrupted the government. He's corrupted our educational system. He's corrupted the economy. He's corrupted the family unit. He's corrupted religion. And he's corrupted the entertainment industry. Now, I personally would probably bring together media and entertainment because they do, you know, it is a single platform. And I think that's why the first weight on that flag, you know, that the eagle was pulling, the first weight was media, which reflects the news and all print of media and reflects Hollywood and music. And I talked a little bit about that last week, and you'll have to find that in the Intercessor's Vault because we transitioned from a teaching time last week to a prayer time. So that whole thing is in our Intercessor's Vault on our website. So you have to log in to access that. So when I was preparing for this, and the Lord moved upon me to begin doing a deep dive into the Battle of Jericho. And it's not just that they took the land. It's not just that they, you know, that these warriors came in, mighty warriors, and they went and they took the land. Jericho was given to the Israelites. But God used the Israelites to bring judgment on Jericho. When God covenanted with Abraham in Genesis 15, he made his, you know, and most of us know what that covenant promise is, but in Genesis 15, 14 to 16, he said, "And also that nation," and he's talking about the land that he would give him, "whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance." This is when he's talking about his lineage going into captivity under Egypt. So he said, "I will judge them." So we've already talked about before the Red Sea crossing and how God judged Egypt through that. He said, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full." So who are the Amorites? The Amorites are part of the people who live in the land of Canaan. The Amorites would be, and we can find this in Joshua 3:10. Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he without fail, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites." Now, what have these people who are living in the land of Canaan been up to? Now, remember, this is 400 years. The covenant between God and Abraham. When he met him in Genesis 15, up until this point, it's been 400 years. In the time of their sin, their cup of iniquity is now full. And so God brings the Israelites out of Egypt, not only to fulfill the promise, the covenant promise for the land portion of that covenant with Abraham, but because the cup of sin of the Amorites, of every person, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, and all the names that we typically wouldn't have rolling off of our tongue today, their cup was full. What were their sins? Why was their cup full? Leviticus 18 and Leviticus chapter 20 tells us homosexuality, incest, inordinate affections, adultery, idolatry, profanity, bestiality, witchcraft, whoredom, dishonor to parents, murder, stealing, and lying. Their cup of iniquity was full. They sacrificed, part of their murder is they sacrificed their children to the god of Moloch. Part of their inordinate affections and their profane sexual perversion involved orgies. It involved incest. It involved terrible acts with children. And this is in worship of Ashtaroth. So their cup was full. Now I look at our nation right now and I see how our nation has fallen into this. Now God in his mercy, because we have been praying for 22 years in this ministry, because since Roe versus Wade was passed, people have been fighting and they have been praying and they have been weeping before God that this would be overturned. How God is moving in our nation to overturn Roe versus Wade. God is hearing our cries. Ashtaroth would be involving child sacrifice. It would involve the satanic ritual abuse. That's witchcraft. It would involve the incest and the human trafficking. These all fall under this, the guise of this. People, we often don't consider these behaviors as idol worship or sacrifices to gods. But the enemy has repackaged it to a woman's right to choose. Nice, tidy package so that the modern-day people can tolerate it. The enemy has, even human trafficking and what's taking place with our children. It's often they portray the older people that face this, that are being trafficked. But there's plenty of young people that are being trafficked, and we've talked about this in our GOEs in great detail. So when God sent the Israelites into the land of Canaan to take the land, he didn't just say, all right, so it's moving day. It's time for you guys to pack up and move. The cup of iniquity in the land of Canaan was full, and it was full with these things that I've listed off. The cup was so full that God was going to use the nation of Israel to bring forth justice, to bring forth judgment on this land. Now, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 4, 3 and 4, that the spirit of judgment refines the godly and destroys the ungodly. So when the spirit of judgment comes through a nation, if you are living for God, and, you know, consider what we're going through right now. We are dealing with a form of judgment in our nation. And so those that are seeking God, those that are allowing him to refine them in this time, the spirit of judgment coming through our nation, it is refining us. It's purifying us. For those that are not living for God, what ends up happening? Well, they get louder. They get more boisterous. They get more demanding of their rights. They get more rebellious. And they fight until the sword of judgment has fallen completely. Now, in March of this year, I had a vision of the Jericho experience. And the Lord brought that back over the last couple of weeks. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. Because in March and in April, the Lord told me that judgment was coming on the Colosseum. He came up and I saw him standing with the sword, and I saw him raise the sword and bring it down on the Colosseum. That's what the Lord, when he's referring to D.C., that's what he calls it, the Colosseum. That's what he does with me. And I saw that sword come down on D.C. and it split in two. It was a very hard thing for me to see. And when I saw, and it wasn't long between that experience and what I'm about to share you about, with you about Jericho. When I had that experience, it was quite traumatic for me. Because the Lord showed me the Jericho March. Now, I want to share a couple things before I share with you what he showed me about Jericho. The Lord had instructed the people through Joshua to sanctify themselves and prepare because they were going to war. They were to be set apart. To sanctify is to be set apart for the work of the Lord. To be sanctified is to pull away from all other things and enter into truth. Because when we enter into truth and we enter into that sanctification, the Lord prayed this over us in John 17. When we enter into the sanctification of the Lord and we enter into his word and we enter into his truth, we're protected. When judgment comes, it refines the godly. So he told them to separate themselves and sanctify themselves. Now, during this period of time, they had crossed the Jordan. And God had done a miraculous work in them as they crossed the Jordan, as I shared in the message, Wanderers to Warriors. But the Israelites had not been circumcised while they were in the desert. So those that were not yet circumcised, they had to be circumcised. They were to celebrate the Passover, and they were to be set apart for what was coming. Now, Joshua, I think it's 2:9, tells us that when God held back the waters of the Jordan, that the fear of the Lord descended on Jericho. That's what the Bible says. It descended, and their hearts did melt within them. When they crossed the Jordan, and they were in the camp, and they were circumcised. Now, for a man to heal from circumcision, it takes about 3 weeks. And in about the third day, he's in a high level of fever. It's the sickest. That's the sickest period for a man when he's circumcised. Had God not put the terror of the Lord, the dread of the Lord, the fear of the Lord upon the people in Jericho, they easily could have come out and attacked and destroyed the Israelites. But see, when God sends in his judgment, there's something that takes place, and a fear of God rises up in the heart of man. And that's one thing that the Lord has told me he's going to do in the coming days, is restore the fear of God back into our nation. You see, believers have a fraction of the fear of God that we should have. If we had the fear of the Lord, we wouldn't be saying, oh, put it under the blood. Oh, by grace, it's under the grace. We would be living our lives as though we were going to face judgment day. That's how we would live our lives. We don't have the fear of God like we should have. But God in his mercy put the fear of God upon Jericho to protect the Israelites while they healed. The Lord told me when he brings back the fear of God into our nation, it will not only captivate the heart of his children, but it will prick the heart of people in this nation. Whether they serve God or not, they will know who he is. The fear of God will descend upon our nation once again. So when the people were in the camp and they were healing, and God placed the fear of God upon Jericho, their hearts did melt within them. The spies had already connected with Rahab, and they were preparing for the time that they would go under the command of the Lord and take the land. Why? Because the cup of those living in Canaan, their cup of sin was full and was crying out to God. There were giants living in the land. There were mighty warriors living in the land. The Israelites fought against them. One man reported his bed was made of iron. Why? Because it needed to be to hold his weight, because he was so large. These are the men that they reported when the 12 spies were sent out to view the land 40 years prior, and they came back with the report that there were giants in the land, and they ate grapes the size of men's heads. And fear struck the hearts of the Israelites. But this time is different. The cup of iniquity is full. And it didn't matter how big those men were. Judgment was coming to Jericho. And if that Israelite only came up to his kneecaps, which I'm not saying he did, he would come down just like David when he took out Goliath.
The fear of God had settled.
When it was time to rise and go, under the order, it was solemn. It was quiet. The shofar blowers, the priests, and the men encircled the city in silence. Reverence for the moment. A moment deserving soberness. And as they encircled the city once and then went back to camp, you know, VeggieTales depicts it as the men above throwing little grapes at the Israelites as they marched. But somehow I doubt that that's what took place. These walls were so great, chariots could ride side by side across the top. They had their sharpshooters and their towers that could have struck the Israelites, but they didn't. Why? Because the fear of God had fallen upon Jericho that day. And it hadn't lifted. Rahab knew and understood it, and that's why when she saw what was coming, she hid the spies, and she was brought out. So as they marched around Jericho each day, until that final day when they would march around 7 times, I saw the inhabitants of Jericho begin to scramble as they saw the difference. As they saw what began to take place, they saw the difference. You see, what was contained in the ark was the law, righteousness. Righteousness was contained in the ark, and righteousness emanated from the ark. That's why when the ark was captured by the Philistines under Saul, and they put it in the temple of Dagon, they came the next morning, and Dagon was on his face, a stone idol on its face before the ark, because the righteousness of God emanated from the ark. So as they marched around, the righteousness of God emanated. The Bible tells us that the righteousness of God is demonstrated in his judgment. So when judgment comes, what happens is the seeds of the sin of that city, of that person, that city, that nation, those seeds begin to cry out and reveal themselves. They can't help but reveal themselves because the righteousness of God is present. The judgment of God is rising. And I watched as that march continued around Jericho, and I saw the righteousness of God rise up above the walls and descend upon Jericho. I watched the righteousness of God rise out from the ark and go down into the earth. And the righteousness of God swept across Jericho and said, "Your sin has come up for judgment." When we stand before the judge, it doesn't matter what side we're on. There will be a judgment that comes either for us or it will come against us based on the information released in that trial. Somebody is going to get the good verdict and somebody isn't. The Israelites had to sanctify themselves, align themselves with the Word of God. They had to keep themselves pure before God and focused and in absolute obedience to Him as they carried the ark and walked around Jericho. Why? Because the righteousness of God demanded it. Judgment was falling. And as the spirit of judgment fell upon Jericho, they were found desperately wanting. The sins that I mentioned earlier, crying out from the very soil in the city of Jericho, a city they spent 40 years fortifying, waiting for the Israelites to come. And in 1 week, in a time of great soberness, the Almighty God, Jehovah, judged the city of Jericho, and they were found wanting. And when the walls fell, the only one that didn't fall, and I actually did some research in this, the only section that didn't fall was one small section, and they believe that that is Rahab's apartment where she lived. Because there was a covenant made with her because she protected the spies. And the fear of God had come on her, and she bowed the knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So when I watched the righteousness of God come out of the ark and sweep across Jericho, and I saw the results, and He said, that's judgment. So when I say judgment is coming to the Colosseum, I say judgment is coming to the Colosseum. And see, the Lord had to deal with my heart on this, because when I was asked to pray for Joe Biden, the illegitimate president, the fake president, I was all prepared to bring that man down. And all I could do was repent and plead with God on his behalf. And that was the night that we released judgment on D.C. Now, what we do in the spirit and what we see in the natural takes time, but it is coming. It calls for a soberness of heart. It calls for a people who, if they were standing before the judgment throne, would remember what they've been saved from. They would prepare their hearts, because when the time comes, it will shake this nation. When the Lord told me that 2020 was going to be the year of shaking, let me tell you, it is nothing compared to what we're about to see when God rights this wrong that's been done in our nation. And the people of God must arise. They must be obedient. They must sanctify themselves. They must enter into His word, into His truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Thy word is truth. We must enter into that place in Him deeper than we ever thought we were capable of entering. And we must arise as the strong tower, because when the nation is shaking, we will need to be the stabilizing force. We will need to be the stabilizing force. It's a serious thing. And judgment comes. Years ago, when the Lord had said there was going to be an earthquake all along the West Coast, and we rearranged our entire gathering. It was supposed to be in October, I believe. We moved it up to August, I believe. We asked the Lord to help us. We paid for people to change their flights. We paid for lodging. We paid for airfare. God just brought the funds in. It was a miracle. We had three rooms, 13 floors apart, and the people came, and they fell on their face before God. We received letters in the mail. Why would you do that? Judgment needs to come. And I said, well, first of all, I live in California, so that's kind of a thing for me. And I said, but do you have anyone who lives along the West Coast? This is supposed to be the worst earthquake this nation has ever seen. Do you have anyone who lives here? Are they saved? If judgment comes and they go down, where will they be? See, it's the mercy of God that stays a hand of judgment at the cry of the intercessors. But there comes a point when the cup is so full. It's a sobering moment, a sobering time. When God is saying, draw into me that I might strengthen you, that I might deposit my truth in you. That I might stabilize you, that you can be a stabilizing force to those around you. The media will be shaken. Entertainment will be shaken. The government will be shaken. The church will be shaken. Education will be shaken. You think, well, things are kind of getting shaken up right now. Yep, they are. But there's a lot of promises that the Lord has given us in this last year. Promises on behalf of our youth. Promises on behalf of our government. And the Lord showed me that it won't be far from that, that we will see the move of God. And we will see a revival in our youth like we haven't seen in our lifetime. I feel the spirit of revival stirring in California. I live right smack dab in the center. And for the first time in history, there's a March for Life coming to California. Tell me that California isn't ready. These are sobering times. But the promises of God are coming. And among those promises are the promises for the prodigal, like Mom just shared. They're promises that are mighty, promises that are great, promises for our children. I sent a letter out a few months ago. And I saw the scriptures bursting like starbursts from our youth, bursting within them and igniting within them and drawing them back to God. Those that memorized scriptures as children and have fallen away from Him. And I saw the prodigals begin to run home. This is on the other side of this. This is coming. So during this season, when we are speaking to you, and we are releasing truth to you, and we are releasing messages on union, messages on drawing closer to God, messages on pressing into God and seeking and allowing God to thrust us forward in prophetic advancement. These are times to grab hold of these messages and cling to them, to stay in the Word and stay in prayer and prepare your heart. Prepare your heart before God. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the promises of your word. I thank you, Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the sanctification of your word. I thank you for thy mercy and truth. Iniquity is purged, and I thank you that when the fear of the Lord comes, men depart from evil. I thank you, Lord, that you are restoring our nation and that you're restoring a fear of God in our nation that will turn the hearts of sons and daughters back to their fathers. It will turn, O God, the hearts of the people of this nation back to you. It will be a time, Lord God, when men will bow the knee to you. Whether they choose to serve you or not will be one thing. But, Father God, they will bow the knee. As we see, O God, our Red Sea moment, our Jordan crossing and our Jericho march, Father God, these are all moments that deserve the sobering awe and wonder of who you are and that which you are doing in our nation and ultimately the earth. Because we know, Lord God, what happens in this nation impacts the nations of the earth. And as we fight against the hand of the elite, the 1% in our nation, Lord God, we're not only fighting for our nation, we're fighting for the nations of the earth. And those chains will, in fact, be broken off. So I thank you, Father. Help us, Lord God, to draw into you in greater ways than we ever have before. In your precious and most holy name, amen.